Chapter 67. Whereby, apostrophe preceded the voice, why not? If so, what odds? Can any man say otherwise? No. A was then. Apostrophe, when it had pursued its train of argument to this point, the voice stopped, and rested. It then proceeded very slowly, thus. Do I believe, that this here son and heir's gone down, my lads? Mayhap. Do I say so? Which? If a skipper stands out by St. George's Channel, making for the Downs, what's right ahead of him? The Goodwins. He isn't forward to run upon the Goodwins, but he may. The bearings of this observation lays in the application on it. That ain't no part of my duty. Awast then, keep a bright lookout forward, and good luck to you. Apostrophe apostrophe, the voice here went out of the back parlor and into the street, taking the commander of the cautious Clara with it, and accompanying him on board again with all convenient expedition, where he immediately turned in, and refreshed his mind with a nap. The students of the sage's precepts, left to their own application of his wisdom upon a principle which was the main leg of the Bunsby tripod, as it is perchance of some other oracular stools, looked upon one another in a little uncertainty, while Rob the Grinder, who had taken the innocent freedom of peering in, and listening, through the skylight in the roof, came softly down from the leads, in a state of very dense confusion. Captain Cuttle, however, whose admiration of Bunsby was, if possible, enhanced by the splendid manner in which he had justified his reputation, and come through this solemn reference, proceeded to explain that Bunsby meant nothing but confidence, that Bunsby had no misgivings, and that such an opinion as that man had given, coming from such a mind as his, was hope's own anchor, with good roads to cast it in. Florence endeavored to believe that the captain was right, but the Nipper, with her arms tight folded, shook her head in resolute denial, and had no more trust in Bunsby than in Mr. Perch himself. The philosopher seemed to have left Uncle Sol pretty much where he had found him, for he still went roaming about the watery world, compasses in hand, and discovering no rest for them. It was in pursuance of a whisper in his ear from Florence, while the old man was absorbed in this pursuit, that Captain Cuttle laid his heavy hand upon his shoulder. What cheer, Sol Gills? Apostrophe apostrophe, cried the captain, heartily. But so, Ned, apostrophe returned the instrument maker. I have been remembering, all this afternoon, that on the very day, when my boy entered Dombey's house, and came home late to dinner, sitting just there where you stand, we talked of storm and shipwreck, and I could hardly turn him from the subject, but meeting the eyes of Florence, which were fixed with earnest scrutiny upon his face, the old man stopped and smiled. Stand by, old friend! Apostrophe apostrophe, cried the captain. Look alive! I tell you what, Sol Gills, arter I've convoyed Art's Delight safe home, apostrophe here the captain kissed his hook to Florence, I'll come back, and take you in tow for the rest of this blessed day. You'll come and eat your dinner along with me, Sol, somewheres or another. Apostrophe, not today, Ned. Apostrophe apostrophe, said the old man quickly, and appearing to be unaccountably startled by the proposition. Not today. I couldn't do it. Apostrophe apostrophe, why not? Apostrophe apostrophe, returned the captain, gazing at him in astonishment. I have so much to do. I mean to think of and arrange. I couldn't do it, Ned, indeed. I must go out again, and be alone, and turn my mind to many things today. Apostrophe, the captain looked at the instrument maker, and looked at Florence, and again at the instrument maker. Tomorrow, then, apostrophe, he suggested, at last. Yes, yes. Tomorrow, apostrophe, said the old man. Think of me tomorrow. Say tomorrow. Apostrophe, I shall come here early, mind, Sol Gills, apostrophe, stipulated the captain. Yes, yes. The first thing tomorrow morning, apostrophe, said old Sol. And now goodbye, Ned Cuttle, and God bless you. apostrophe apostrophe, squeezing both the captain's hands with uncommon fervor as he said it. The old man turned to Florence, folded hers in his own, and put them to his lips, then hurried her out to the coach with very singular precipitation. Altogether, he made such an effect on Captain Cuttle that the captain lingered behind and instructed Rob to be particularly gentle and attentive to his master until the morning, which injunction he strengthened with the payment of 1 shilling down and the promise of another sixpence before noon next day. This kind office performed, Captain Cuttle, who considered himself the natural and lawful bodyguard of Florence, mounted the box with a mighty sense of his trust, and escorted her home. At parting, he assured her that he would stand by Sol Gills, close and true, and once again inquired of Susan Nipper, unable to forget her gallant words in reference to Mrs. McStinger, "Would you, do you think, my dear, though?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, when the desolate house had closed upon the two, the captain's thoughts reverted to the old instrument maker, and he felt uncomfortable. Therefore, instead of going home, he walked up and down the street several times, and, eking out his leisure until evening, dined late at a certain angular little tavern in the city, with a public parlor like a wedge, to which glazed hats much resorted. The captain's principal intention was to pass Sol Gills, after dark, and look in through the window, which he did. The parlor door stood open, and he could see his old friend writing busily and steadily at the table within, while the little midshipman, already sheltered from the night dews, watched him from the counter, under which Rob the Grinder made his own bed, preparatory to shutting the shop. Reassured by the tranquility that reigned within the precincts of the Wooden Mariner, the captain headed for Brig Plus, resolving to weigh anchor bedhams in the morning. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.